Hi, everyone. Welcome back to part three of 2018, The Best Of on Turnbuckle Trash. We're going to feature June, July, and August of 2018. We got a lot of things to talk about and some pretty serious subject matter, but of course, we always like to have a little bit of fun on Turnbuckle Trash. Coming up first, we'll talk in the month of July. We have news from Ring of Honor, Impact Wrestling. Also, the Trash Heads go to the WWE, and I ask the question, is Extreme Rules really that extreme? It's all coming up on this edition of Turnbuckle Trash.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
After all, they're just wrestling, right?
Woo! We'll break your bones! We'll grind you into putty! We'll turn your faces off!
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
Without further ado, allow me to present the newest sensation of the entertainment world,
Zane Peterson.
Well, he's doing really, really well blocking those punches with his face.
Dave Denton.
A mindless eating machine.
Ready, master control?
Ready, switch on.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I'm taking the trash out.
We have a new champion in Ring of Honor. That man is none other than Jay Lethal. Lethal won the title from Dalton Castle. The match featured Castle defending against Lethal, Cody Rhodes, and Matt Taven. Jay Lethal begins his second reign as champion after his first reign lasted 427 days. Impact Wrestling is announcing a new deal in Mexico. They've announced a deal with the channel called Channel 52MX. Impact will air its weekly show Saturday nights starting July the 7th in Mexico. Bray Wyatt in a little trouble. Bray Wyatt has been missing from Monday Night Raw broadcast the last few weeks after being involved in a car accident. TMZ is reporting that Bray Wyatt, the Eater of Worlds, was hospitalized due to those injuries, suffered from the crash in Tampa, but it might have been Bray Wyatt's fault. The crash report said this. According to TMZ now, Bray Wyatt wasn't paying attention to traffic when he smashed into the car in front of him. However, Bray Wyatt is being advertised for Extreme Rules. Shinsuke Nakamura was bitten by a police dog. They've held out Shinsuke for a couple of weeks.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
Joining via satellite, isn't that what they used to say back in the day?
Yes.
Do they still say that?
Via satellite or by Skype, so.
What did you say when you were first in radio when you'd have somebody on the phone?
I'd say, join us by telephone this evening would be a Mr. Zane Peterson. Zane, thank you so much for joining us here on the radio. That's how I would say it, too. On the radio.
So, dude, WWE live from Salt Lake City, Road to SummerSlam. Well, do they call it Road to SummerSlam? Or?
It was a Raw-branded show, and you showed up right after they had the videotape of Kurt Angle. Kurt was not there. Blah, 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 blah. So you didn't even get to sing along with You Suck.
SummerSlam Heatwave Tour. So Kurt was there?
No, it was all video. Oh. But did you notice who the announcer was, the in-ring announcer?
Old Byron.
Can you believe how good a job he did?
Yeah, well, he does. He's been the in-ring guy for the last three or four live events we've been to.
I thought he did great. As much of a nerd as he comes out to be when he's doing his commentary. Yeah. He did a fantastic job getting the crowd involved, and I thought it was awesome. I mean, we saw some good stuff that night.
Oh, yeah. Quality matches. You know, one thing I wanted to talk to you about, I mean, a lot of tag team on the live shows. How come do you think that is?
It's a way to get more talent involved, and it gives them a chance to have the fans of a Bailey, I think it gets more talent involved, and that's probably why they do more tag teams at live events.
And what do you think? Do you think it's easier on the competitors, too? They don't get beat up quite as bad?
Yeah, probably not just beat up quite as bad, but also the talent level. One might be a little stronger in one aspect, and they can work with, you know, like Dana Brooks did a great job against Ruby Riott. And she worked really well against her. So, you know, a singles match, you know, if you're in there for 20 or 30 minutes, you're going to be exhausted.
What did you think? We had a cruiserweight match. I was a little bit surprised by that.
Yeah, the cruiserweight title match with Kalisto and Cedric Alexander. I love Cedric Alexander. I think he needs to be on the main roster instead of on 205. But crowd was, I mean, it was split 50-50. Who are they going to root for? Kalisto is extremely popular with the kids, and Cedric is more popular with you and I, like the regular mm-hmm. wrestling fans.
The B team, Titus Worldwide, and Breezango.
Oh, wasn't it fun?
Oh my gosh, I didn't know who to cheer for because I love the B team and I like Breezango, and it was kind of a strange match because nobody was really bad guys in that. I mean, I guess the B team was kind of the bad guys, but I don't know.
Almost comedic bad guys. Yeah.
I'll post the picture of Bobby. I got a really good picture of Bobby Lashley standing in the ring. My God.
He's a monster, isn't he?
Oh, my hell, that guy is a monster. Good grief.
You know, Mitch, I introduced you to Mitch down by you with his brother, mm-hmm. Drew. And he went there with his brother, actually his twin brother, They got together to do this because his twin, who has Down syndrome, loves professional wrestling. And
cool.
And Drew wanted to take him to something just pretty nice. And I kept on telling Mitch, I said, Mitch, you're going to come out being a fan. And I think he is now.
It is pretty good family entertainment.
Fun time.
I told you, Mitch, you would be a fan. And just say, Dave, you're right.
You're right.
I am.
Definitely right.
Well, and speaking of that, we had another semi-new fan with us as well.
Uh-huh.
And we'll get him on and talk to him about this. But he recently joined the Facebook group, an old friend of mine, Andrew Crapo, joined us for the night too. And I think he had a lot of fun. He's just a goofball.
He did, didn't he? He was getting into a couple of those matches, yeah. Screaming and yelling, and I loved it.
For a house show, I was really impressed. I thought that they did a pretty good job of keeping the mm-hmm. pace. And the card was pretty strong, but B team did end up with the win in a, I guess what would you call it, a triple threat tag mm-hmm. team, six man tag or whatever. I guess did you call that a six man tag or is it like a Braun Strowman, Finn Balor, and Bobby Lashley?
Well, anytime you talk Bobby Lashley and Braun Strowman, you're talking strong.
Kevin Owens, Baron Corbin, and Jinder Mahal. What did you think of that pop Kevin Owens got?
I loved it. He's one of those anti-heroes now. He cheats. He'll do anything he can to win. And I think the crowd just gets into him. And I don't know if you saw, I tweeted out and also took a picture and put it onto our Facebook page. I ran into a guy outside right before the matches began. And it wasn't an exact replica of Kevin Owens, but he looked like Kevin Owens from a distance especially.
Simplify it for me, Baron Corbin. I don't get what's... I don't know if it's an infatuation, but it's a. I don't know. I don't get what the deal is with him. It seems like they try too hard.
Well, I liked his other persona better than what they're doing right now with the constable and the shaved head and coming out with a shirt and a vest on. But he's supposed mm-hmm. to be like the authority figure for Stephanie McMahon on Raw.
So. He's the knockoff corporate Kane, basically.
That's exactly what he is. He
so next, my favorite spot of the night. Oh, my absolute favorite spot of the night.
Okay.
And I posted the video to our Facebook page. And who did we get to? What did we get to do?
We got to walk with
Elias.
Wasn't that fun?
Oh my gosh. He is so over right now, dude.
Now when they took their
he is so good.
They took their little break, their intermission break. And I was sitting there and you had left and I think your friend had left too. And I told him right before he left, I said, when you come back, we're gonna walk with Elias. And as soon as you guys left, I saw him setting it up in the ring. I was going, yeah, baby, we get to walk with Elias tonight.
We hustled back down there to get I heard a lot. Hello, my name is Elias. I love that. He says, you know, when we sing along with him, he just says, you know, sing, whoa, hey, yeah. Salt Lake sucks.
And then when Bobby Roode came out and they were, Bobby was going to sing along with him. And then he started playing, right before he started playing Sweet Child of Mine on his guitar, I was the goofball that yelled out Freebird. And I heard about 25 people start laughing. And because it was just at the right spot, if there was a videotape of it, you'd hear some idiot yelling out Freebird. And that was, I am said idiot. It was funny. I even saw him kind of look out of the corner of his eye like, oh, there's a one in every crowd, you know?
Alexa Bliss versus Sasha Banks.
Wasn't it fun, though?
What a good match. Oh, Alexa Bliss is good and Sasha's really good, mm-hmm. and they're both good looking, and that's all I have to say about that.
My wife's in the other room, so I can't tell you how hot Alexa Bliss really looked and how much I breathed heavy around her. No, she is, and you know what? I think her strength is the psychology of a wrestling match. She does the psychology very, very well.
She really has taken that whole Jake the Snake psychology thing, you know, because he's somebody that I always think of when you talk about ring psychology. Boy, she's...
You're not giving me the opportunity to tell you, everyone in WWE, everyone here, everyone watching at home, thank you.
This is really nice. What a humble champion.
See, this is the opportunity I'm talking about. The opportunity to rub it all in all of your faces.
She loves to play the innocent bad, you know, but bad. And Sasha Banks, she's very talented as well, but Alexa Bliss is by far one of my favorites on the roster right now. Then last but not least, the main event. Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre. Oh, man. Versus Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins. Dude, and okay. What I told you, I said in that match, it looks like Drew McIntyre might have an inch or two on Roman. Uh-huh. He is an animal right now. Holy cow, he is huge.
He is, and his shoulders look like coconuts over his shoulders. I mean, it looks like he's wearing shoulder pads. His shoulders muscles are so defined. And what a worker. I think he is just a future champ, and it should be within a year, I think. Anyway.
Because, you know, I remember him when he was the chosen one on SmackDown, and he left for a while and then went to TNA, and you know, now he's back, and then NXT stuff. But, man, when he sized up against Roman, I was like, damn.
I agree, man.
I'm a little confused, okay, by this, because – you and I don't know how to explain it. Are we Roman fans or are we not Roman fans? I can't figure it out. Are we like bandwagon fans or I don't know what to do. I don't know what to think of Roman right now.
That one's a tough one because they desperately, desperately need to turn him as a heel. Because the fans, like you and I, don't know what to do with him at this point. I have never been as animately opposed to him as some others, but I'm starting to get a little tired of the stick. He's almost like always just short of getting that championship. He's getting screwed out of it. When's he going to fight back? That's the thing. When's he going to say, you know, I've tried doing it this way, and now I'm going to do it the way I want to do it.
Well, they did that with Dolph, but it worked well with his persona, and the fans responded to it well, and for some reason... But I was amazed because, you know, you hear some of the, like, you know, in the larger venues, you know, on Raw and the pay-per-views and stuff, when Roman's music hits, I mean, it is just a solid boo through the whole freaking crowd. But he got a positive pop. Like, I think you and I were the only two booing him in the whole crowd. And I was like, wait a minute. I was like, are the people of Utah,
Yes.
What's going on?
Yes, they are. Well, you know, he still sells a lot of merchandise. I'll go back to Drew, Mitch's brother. One of the things he did when he left, they went by a concession stand and bought a Roman Reigns T-shirt because, you know, it's what sells. And I guess at this point, you know, they're keeping him because he sells merchandise. And that's fine and dandy, you know, but you got somebody like KO that probably sells as much merchandise now, and he's a heel.
Okay, I'm going to jump in here real quick because I have an answer for Zane about what they're doing with one Roman Reigns. And I think the answer has to do not only with Drew McIntyre, I think he's part of the equation, but with one Bobby Lashley. Listen to this, Bobby Lashley and the one and only Roman Reigns in the ring on Monday Night Raw a couple of weeks ago. This is pretty good.
3 years of chances, and the only thing that you've proven is that you can't beat Brock. So it's time for you to just move on, Roman.
Kind of like you did 10 years ago? Some of you may not know this, but about 10 years ago, Bob here was in the main event of WrestleMania. And then what'd he do? He moved on. You left. You quit. Why? You wanted to be a big superstar in the MMA, and how'd that work out, huh? You made a real big impact.
Maybe if he had somebody legit to challenge him. Maybe if he didn't have to look across the ring and stare at you every single time. He's tired of seeing your face, just like all these people are.
So with that, what happened on the first Monday night of July on Raw?
But all that stuff aside, still a entertaining match, you know. Everybody got their high spots, and Seth Rollins defeats Dolph Ziggler with...
Did he do the zigzag first?
Yeah, he did, and then Rollins hit Drew McIntyre with the curb stomp or something, or what did he hit? He hit Ziggler, but didn't he end up just winning with a roll-up?
Yeah, I think
something?
Roll-up and pulling the tights. I was texting with Andrew Sowell from UCW Zero because I saw him walking in, but I couldn't catch his eye. And I told him, I said, well, you look down the floor in the seventh row, that's where we're at. And he says, wow, how did you do that? And I said, perks from the radio station. And he goes, lucky you. And I said, well, sometimes, yeah. So you know, we had excellent seats. Before I let you go, I wanted to tell you that one of our trash heads passed away this week. Nephew, Jeremy. Who listened to the pod sometimes. Dave. He passed away on Friday. He would listen to us. He would make comments every once in a while on our Facebook page, and we will miss him.
Oh, Dave, I'm so sorry, man. You know, it's always hard to lose one of your, you know, one of your friends, but let alone your family. I just can't fathom how you're feeling right now.
It's tough, but I have a really great memory I'd like to share with you. Now, you know, and I know we're members of the LDS faith, the Mormons, as a lot of people would know us as, and young people will go on missions for the church when they feel like they need to. And my nephew Jeremy did go on a mission for the LDS church, went to Sacramento. But right before he went, I was visiting in Memphis, and I took him to Memphis, Tennessee Wrestling at the Mid-South Coliseum, and they used to have ring girls come out with, not valets, but ring girls actually coming out with the wrestlers. Of course, they were scantily clad. And in one of the intermission breaks, they were saying, hey, come meet these ring girls and take a picture or buy a picture. They'll autograph it for you. So right before he went on his mission for his church, I bought him a scantily clad bikini model that was autographed directly to him. And he actually took it on his mission, so I'm going to go to hell. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Great story. Sorry, I tried to get an interview with a superstar, going through all the motions that the WWE press releases in their website, I, you know, said, you know, this is for the radio station, for the podcast, also an article that would be written for Cache Valley Daily, and they turned me down. I don't know why, but I'm not going to cry over spilled milk. It ticked me off, but I'm still a fan. So later. Quickly, one quick thing before I let you go. I loved being able to walk with Elias, but my one disappointment, I wanted to be a Firefly. I wanted Bray Wyatt to be there so I could turn on my light and be a Firefly.
Well, you know, when I went to the Styx concert, I should have recorded it. They played that song, I'm sure you know, being a 70s dude. They sing that song, Do I Dare Sing, on the podcast. Light up and be happy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And when they said light up, everybody's cell phones were in the audience, and I was trying to get my cell phone out. And I wanted to just take a picture of all the cell phone cameras and just show you, oh, Bray Wyatt must be in town, because that's the only thing I think about when I see
it. I do the same thing, man.
Turnbuckle Trash.
More trash is on the way on turnbuckletrash.net.
Oh, he's got him in a subatomic headlock. Ow, that's got to hurt.
Actually, I can tell you from experience, it does hurt.
You were a wrestler?
No, just married.
It's time to take out the trash.
Okay, the WWE pay-per-view called Extreme Rules. And it seems to me, now this is just my opinion as a fan, Extreme Rules, every one of the matches should have some sort of stipulation. But they don't see it my way, and I'm still paying the $9.99 for the network, so they got my money. Baron Corbin takes on Finn Balor, and that was a really interesting match, but he did fall prey to a small package roll-up from Finn Balor for the win. Then it was time for the SmackDown Women's Champion with Mella is Money, Carmella versus Asuka, and James Ellsworth in a shark cage above the ring. I've been reading a lot of reviews and people saying they kind of liked this angle. I didn't. Ellsworth was trying to affect the outcome from the get-go, dropping a steel chain from the shark cage. Carmella Ellsworth picked the lock on his cage, and then he was kind of hanging there from one leg like a pinata. And Asuka started beating on his head with her kicks, and that's when Carmella pushed her into the cage and got the win. So, steel cage match. Kevin Owens and Braun Strowman. Strowman continues to get cheered while bullying Kevin Owens. Braun Strowman yells at Owens during the match, "Stand up and fight him like a man." Owens did, unloaded a cannonball and a frog splash to do the perfect heel thing and pull out some handcuffs. He handcuffs the monster in the bank to the ring ropes, and that just angers Braun Strowman. He breaks the handcuffs, and man, was he quick getting up that to the top of the cage, and he chokeslammed Kevin Owens from the top of the cage down to the announce table. So Kevin Owens officially has a win against Braun Strowman. Tag team title match saw Team Hell No against the Bludgeon Brothers. Harper and Rowan attacked the team backstage earlier in the pay-per-view. They crushed Kane's leg, and later Bryant took on the two by himself and was holding his own pretty good until Kane came out in a walking boot. They bludgeoned Team Hell No to retain their title as the SmackDown Tag Team Champion. A good big band match was next. Bobby Lashley against Roman Reigns. I liked the match. Reigns dominated early, but Lashley fought back through the onslaught and delivered a huge power slam. Lashley took a nasty spill before being thrown over the ropes. He landed right on his shoulder. Reigns was trying to deliver a Superman punch, but Lashley intercepted, got a spear, and got the victory over the big dog. Nia Jax, Alexa Bliss for the women's title held by Alexa. And in the front row, Ronda Rousey. Alexa and Mickie James started a little bit of fight with Natalya. That angered her good friend in Ronda Rousey, who came in and just cleaned the clocks of everybody there. A steel chair assault in the ring by both James and Bliss left Jax prone to a DDT by Little Miss Bliss, who retains her championship. And what I thought was the match of the night, AJ Styles and Rusev Day, when AJ Styles actually gets the big Bulgarian's leg into the calf crusher Aiden English gets a little bit involved. He starts pushing the rope towards Rusev. Then Aiden English got involved again, but not in a good way, because he took off the top turnbuckle padding, and eventually Rusev hit that padding with his head, and that led to the win by the phenomenal one, AJ Styles. Now, if I was going to kind of rank the matches, I would give the AJ Styles-Rusev match number one, and then 1A, very, very close, I would give it to the 30-minute Ironman match between the champion for the IC title, Dolph Ziggler, coming to the ring with Drew McIntyre against Seth Rollins. Boy, this was a good one. So after the second win by Seth Rollins, in comes Drew McIntyre, and he starts beating up onto Seth Rollins. Well, that's a disqualification. That means Seth is up 3-0. You get down to the nitty-gritty, and it is Seth Rollins catching a victory. So we're tied at 4 apiece as time starts running out. Seth Rollins has Dolph Ziggler pinned, but time runs out. Dolph Ziggler retains his title. No, 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 according to Kurt Angle, because he says, we'll add some more time on. It's sudden death. Whoever wins the next fall is the champion. And about that time, a distraction by Drew McIntyre, and Dolph Ziggler gets his win back, goes in zigzag, and Dolph Ziggler is still the Intercontinental Champion. Okay, WrestleTalk, I will disagree with you about the fan reaction during the pay-per-view. I was watching their little video podcast that they were doing, and they were all over the fans in Pittsburgh for counting down the minutes as the match went on. About 6 minutes in, you started hearing a countdown, 10, 9, 8. I thought it was the crowd having fun and still involved with the match. But the guys from WrestleTalk, they were not of my opinion. Now, a difference of opinion is fine, guys, and I have no... Those people paid to come in to have a good time while they were watching a professional wrestling match. Professional wrestling is getting to the point now where it's as much as the chance and the interaction the fans have with the wrestling matches as it is the matches itself. They're not distracting from the match at all. I thought it was fun. I thought the crowd was into it. I personally enjoyed it. If you wrestle talk, hey, guys, sorry. We have a difference of opinion, but I still like your program on YouTube. The Rock was on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert on July the 11th. He talked about his grandfather, who was a pro wrestler. And when he first started, his grandmother didn't realize that professional wrestling is fake. Told a funny story about his grandmother trying to save his grandfather.
When my grandfather first started learning how to be a professional wrestler, he never told my grandmother. So he never smartened her up. So as far as she knew, it was real and there was going to be a fight. He has the match and the match starts and he, of course, starts getting beat up at some point. And she freaks out. She jumps in the ring. I swear to God. She jumps in the ring, takes her clogs off, and starts beating his ass in the ring. Yes.
The opponent.
The opponent.
The opponent.
Yes.
In NXT news, Lars Sullivan reportedly suffered a broken jaw in a match with NXT champ Aleister Black at TakeOver Chicago. The Wrestling Observer says it's a work. Lars was bleeding in his mouth, and he was trying to move that jaw around and looked like he was in some sort of pain. In some other injury news, Charlotte Flair has had her surgery to repair an implant in one of her breasts. Dean Ambrose is almost ready to come back, and he should be coming back by SummerSlam, at what the internet is saying.
Well, welcome back. Oh, did you hear that big loud bang?
Uh-huh, I did. What was that?
Well, that wasn't exactly how I was going to. I was going to come up with something witty and something funny to say to start us off, but that loud bang threw me off, and I lost my train of thought. So, Dave, glad you're here.
What in the world was it? It sounded metal.
It was a dust fan falling. I'm going to clean my garage while I talk to you.
Oh, that's great. Okay, good.
My goodness. What a wonderful, wonderful time to be a professional wrestling fan. Has there ever been any time where you have, in your life, where you've been like, man, I wish I wasn't a wrestling fan?
You know, I stopped watching it for just a few years right at the end of the Attitude Era.
So what I would like to talk to you about, Dave, is I sent you an article a couple of weeks ago, and it was a strange article. Do you recall what it was about?
It had something to do with Vince McMahon, am I right?
Vinnie Mac. The article was talking about how basically Vince McMahon, as he's getting older, he's forgetting a lot, and he's forgetting who is even on the roster, and forgetting what their moves are, and forgetting, you know, all kinds of things. And I'm like, that kind of, to me, seems a little strange, I guess, a little sketch, to have somebody still in charge of the company that can't remember what's going on. So I just wanted to run that past you and see what you thought.
Well, as I'm getting older, young man, I have a little bit different theory on this, to be honest with you, because I think, we're not there in that room with Vincent Kennedy McMahon and the others. I think that with him forgetting things and maybe, showing some signs of aging that we all go through, if he has the right people in place that can say to him, hey, Vince, you forgot this. This is what happened last week. And let him, now I remember. Let's go with this, you know, because he's going to have the final say until he gives it up or somebody has the cojones to go up to him and say, Vince, it's time for you to back off.
With this recent deal with Fox and stuff like that, how do you think that plays into this scenario or these scenarios? I mean, will we see any change, or does it matter? Is this just a TV deal? I know it was a very lucrative deal.
That was handled by lawyers and by media people. I would guess that Vince and Stephanie and Triple H, they had their input to it, and they had to give their final say, especially Vince and Linda. But I think most of that was just the business of being in business. At this point, you will see very little change in what actually goes on with when they move over to Fox, and Raw is only on the USA Network, and Fox has SmackDown, and reportedly that's going to move to Friday nights again.
You are a large show, Dave. And so
I am a big one.
It's got to look good while looking large and in charge, too.
Yeah, you know, I make them shirts look good. That's what it is.
That a boy. You, the women's pet and the men's regret right there, huh?
Yeah.
You are the man. That's for sure, Dave. So what else has been going on? You know, that I've been working. Work sucks. So, unfortunately, I've been a little bit out of the scene for a couple of weeks. Pretend for 1 minute that I'm a casual fan, and I said, hey, Dave, what's been going on in SmackDown and Raw, and who's been feuding with who? Because we all know that I'm a huge fan, and I would never, never let work get in the way of things.
But anyway, on the SmackDown, they've kind of gotten away from the Nakamura and AJ Styles feud, a Nakamura with Jeff Hardy feud.
Jeff Hardy has the U.S. title right now, or had the
Correct.
U.S. title, right? Nakamura came out and kicked him in the balls, and then won?
No, he didn't kick him. He did that famous uppercut, and then he, when Jeff Hardy told the official that he could move on with the match, Nakamura ran across the ring, gave him to the Shinskatsuka, the knee to face, and the match was over in 5 seconds. I enjoyed the storytelling of it because it gives Nakamura extreme heel heat. Now, the next thing that happened was here comes the Viper, Randy Orton, from the back, and he stares down Nakamura. Nakamura looks really concerned, and, you know, Jeff Hardy's laying on the mat, and then Randy Orton does what Randy Orton does. He picks up both of his legs and stomps him right in the Wachovies.
He stomps Jeff Hardy.
Jeff Hardy right in the Gabonza beans. So
got him right
Jeff
in the
took
game
two
game
nut shots last night.
And so how come he so was that? A nut shot out of nowhere.
Crowd, you know, they were cheering him when he came out, and now they're booing him. So is it Randy Orton just saying he, you know, he's not the greatest guy in the world, doesn't play well with others? Jeff Hardy beat him for the U.S. title, so he's paying back Jeff Hardy. Now he's going to go after Nakamura. Or is he really making a heel turn? That's
so what you're saying is it could be a BKO.
So the next mayor of Knox, Tennessee, helped out, but didn't help out a whole lot during the pay-per-view. So
I know I heard that he got quite a bunch of flack from his Democratic opponent.
Oh, give me a
saying
break.
That he shouldn't. Now is not the time in the campaign to be, you know, fooling around with wrestling.
Oh, give me a break. Come on, that's what the man has made his money with. Excuse me, politics, politicians. You know what? You know what Kane said? Or Glenn Jacobs said one time? He said if he becomes mayor and the WWE comes to Knoxville or Knox County, he will consider being in the ring again, especially if it's a pay-per-view. Give me a break. I mean, that just really ticks me off. Excuse me, whoever the Democratic opponent is. Go to a bank, get a loan, and then buy yourself a life. You need one.
Or buy yourself a seat at the next Knox County mayor, huh?
Yeah. Speaking of Rusev, I'm dying it back in to Kane, did you hear that Glenn Jacobs got the current mayor of Knox to declare it Rusev Day last week?
I did see that. That was awesome. When they were talking about Rusev and, you know, couldn't get his leg planted, and, you know, it was times like that that I was like, you know what? It's things like this that make me absolutely love professional wrestling. Because, you know, I mean, the storytelling behind it is just, it makes me laugh, and I love it, because we know predetermined, we know, you know, AJ Styles is going to win, so on and so forth, in there of, you know, he can't get his leg planted, and, you know, to work the crowd so good, and to work the people at home so good, it just makes me happy.
I call it the art of professional wrestling, is telling that story in the ring in a physical style. Anybody could have watched that match and enjoyed it, not knowing the background between the two, because they were telling the story of how one was attacking the leg, one was attacking the back, and then Aiden English getting involved. It was
him and Aiden English are still super good. So what's going on with Lana?
She, every once in a while she'll show up with Rusev, and Aiden English backstage, but she hasn't come out to the ring with them. She does compete.
Oh. Yeah, she's competing now.
Yeah, she is a full-fledged, woman wrestler, and she does well.
And she was part of that lumberjack match on SmackDown last week. And I thought she just did very well. I think she does a credible job at the very, very least.
How does that make you feel? When you see somebody like Lana in the ring and all these other chicks down in NXT, you know, that may be better ring workers and stuff, not getting their chance.
I have no opinion. I don't care. She's learning the ropes. I don't know if she'll ever be champion, but she could make a run or two. I think she can do okay.
Another one that's currently causing controversy, the former UFC women's champion.
Rowdy. Ronda. Rousey.
Help me, Ronda. Help me, Ronda. You love the Beach Boys.
Well, I got to introduce them on stage. I got to meet the guys and all that a few years ago. I got an autographed boogie board of the Beach Boys right above my mantelpiece right now. So I guess I'm somewhat of a fan. So to Ronda Rousey. They made a big deal about her buying a ticket to Extreme Rules with her being on the front row. Yeah, she did okay last night in her role. She got a bigger pop than the Extreme Rules match between Nia Jax and Alexa Bliss.
Is your crystal ball still there, the one that I left there last time I was at your house?
It be there, Bubba.
So look deep, deep into your crystal ball. Look deep into your crystal ball and see if... So has Dave Denton's opinions changed on Roman Reigns? I mean, are you still kind of had enough, maybe want to see a little change? Or after Sunday, has your opinion changed on Double R?
No, I am predicting I'm just predicting because I suspect what the writers and creative staff are going to try to do. I would rather see Lashley and Brock in just a killer match with the two of them and get Brock away from doing just the two moves that he does and let Lashley do his power moves and let this match go 15, 20 minutes between the two of them.
If JR were to say something right now, you would say, would you rather see a slobber knocker or a barn burner?
Slobber knocker.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you know, you can't get those two mixed up.
A slobber knocker.
Just a good old fashioned slobber knocker. I agree.
Did you hear about what happened with Brock at the UFC match?
Yeah, I did. I don't know.
Listen to DC. There's a guy that I've known for a long time. He's a wrestler. He's an All-American. He's a former UFC champion. I never thought I would fight him, but Brock Lesnar, get your ass in here.
All right, so I'm sitting here with Brock Lesnar. Brock, what does this all mean to you, Brock?
Let me tell you something. I walked into this building and watched the heavyweight disasters from the beginning. Nagano's a piece of Miocic's a piece of CC, I'm coming for you.
I honestly, Dave, I'm so sick of Brock. I almost threw up a little bit in my mouth when you said that. So, do they hope that Brock doesn't show up so he'll get stripped of the title? But they hope Brock doesn't show up to build more heat.
I'm just tired of the stick. Mike Calvin, who did a little thing with me, he's one of our trash heads, he's more of a Brock Lesnar fan and Roman Reigns fan than we are. Me personally, I think the champion needs to be there. I don't like this part-time champion stuff. I think it diminishes the title. I think it diminishes what everybody else is doing.
Now, here's a question for you. This is my feeling. So sometimes I say things. With Brock being out, how come we're not seeing more light shown on the U.S. title and the Intercontinental title, especially the Intercontinental title? I mean, card that the WWE is going to play, fine. Then let's see the IC title in some frickin' sweet barn burners and some slobber knockers and, some guys like Elias getting an IC title shot or a U.S. title shot.
Well, it has been a little bit more of the focal point the last couple of months. And then on the SmackDown side, they've been using the U.S. title. They still don't know what to do with their tag team division. But it's, the same old, same old. You got Dolph Ziggler, Drew McIntyre, together holding the belt, and Seth Rollins is going up against them. But I will give the announcing staff credit. Last night, they didn't focus on Seth Rollins' knee the entire match like they did at Money in the Bank.
One thing I did see in that Seth Rollins match that made me cringe was that buckle bomb. I hate that move. It makes me cringe. I despise that move. That's the move that ended Sting's career, and that move just ticks me off.
Well, that's the highlights of the month of July for 2018. What's coming up? Well, the month of August. We're doing calendar stuff here. It's not rocket science. We're going to talk about the evolution of women's wrestling. The mayor is here in Knoxville, Tennessee. And we talk a lot about SummerSlam. It's next on Turnbuckle Trash.